Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Great Friday show for you. I hope you're having a good Friday afternoon or maybe a Friday evening. Or if you're our friend James in the Philippines or anyone on the other side of the dateline, a nice Saturday morning. Second hour, Tim Staples will be here. And we got a little bonus. Ask me anything with Tim Staples. You can ask him whatever you want, which is probably implied in the name Ask Me Anything. First hour, Rose Sweet is back. That's an awful nice way to spend a Friday afternoon. Rose Sweet, thank you very much for being here with us.
That's so nice of you to say that, Cy. That just perked up my day. Thank you.
Oh, I'm glad it did. I'm glad it did. And I'm glad we got the camera working. We were having a little trouble before we went on the air, but it's nice to be able to see you.
Yeah, thank you. Technical difficulties, I hate them.
Is there anything different? It seems like something's... I can't put my finger on it. What? Oh, new haircut, Rose?
Every 10 or 12 years, I just chop it all off and start over. And it's just fun going through all the different stages. So change is good, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. So you're back to to stage one.
This is stage one.
Very good. You know what, Rose? We talk with you so much because so much of your life has been devoted to helping people. Especially Catholic people in situations of separation, marriage struggles, divorce, annulment, remarriage, blended families, all of that stuff. But again and again and again, we get the basic questions about communion and reception and all that with people in these various different situations. And it's the year of the Eucharist, Eucharistic Congress going on right now in Indianapolis, Indiana. So we thought it'd be great to talk with you about divorce and the Eucharist and basically ask the question, who can receive?
It's an important topic. One thing I wanted to say that this is, I just love this, is that when anybody approaches the altar to receive Jesus in the Holy Sacrament, remember these words, "This is my body given for you." Hmm. Jesus says that to us. And in a certain sense, we're supposed to be saying it back to him. Yes, Lord, I receive you, and this is my body and my heart and my soul and my life and my struggles given for you. It's like, you know, when somebody says, I love you, the natural thing is to reciprocate and say, I love you too. So Holy Communion is about us offering our entire self to Jesus in that intimate act. So the question is, what are we offering him? Because sometimes we're offering things that we shouldn't be offering, like serious unconfessed sin or a hard and rebellious heart. You know, part of us wants to go up and receive Holy Communion because we don't want to look less than holy or be left out. But the other part is still harboring some struggle with sin. And the church has told us, don't go. If that's the case, if you have serious unconfessed sin. So let's talk about that.
I'm so glad you said that because I forget about that beautiful, this is my body given for you. It's not, this is Christ giving himself as his whole life was, a gift to us. But then we get into, okay, so I get it, Rose. When we're in a state of serious sin, we need to confess. We need to repent, really, and confess in order to receive. But I think a lot of people go, but I don't know, am I or not, when it comes to marital situations? You know, like, is this
okay.
is this a state of sin I'm in? Am I okay to go to communion now or not?
Okay, let's go there, but let's first do the blanket thing for all baptized Catholics who are able to receive Holy Communion. Nobody should be receiving Holy Communion if they have serious mortal sin that's unconfessed. You can make a spiritual act of communion. You should attend Mass. You still have your Sunday Mass obligation, even though you don't receive communion. You still are obliged to go to Mass every Sunday and get your little tail to confession ASAP. But for let's start with the whole divorce thing. Let's say you're just separated. You're not civilly divorced, but you're living apart and you're separated. There's no sin in separation in a general sense if it was done to keep the peace, to escape a dangerous situation, to clear your head, to maybe facilitate reconciliation. You know, some people are so hard in their sin that a counselor or a therapist or spiritual director say, you guys need to separate for a while with the intention of shaking that one person up so that you can get back together again.
Okay.
So separation, you may have serious unconfessed. You may separate because you're done and you're out of here and you don't like it. And, you know, you got some serious issues there. But if the separation was done with a good intent and with reconciliation being the hoped for, result, then you're not in a state of serious sin in that regard. But I always remind people, okay, what about cheating on your taxes or, stuck in pornography? Or there are other serious sins besides the separation and divorce area. So I just want to qualify that too. But if you're legally, if you're separated, talk to a good Catholic therapist, talk to your spiritual director, talk to your pastor. And if you have any doubts, just ask. But in general, separation itself doesn't necessarily constitute a serious sin or even a sin at all.
I have a question then about when separation, when there's an agreed to separation as opposed to what might be an abandonment. And it seems to me that there's a lot of judgment in there because like someone might be saying, I'm not abandoning you. This is for the good of our relationship. You know, that we need to reset, like you said, but sometimes somebody is abandoning the other person.
Okay. Yes. I'm glad you brought that up. Okay. So remember, we're not talking about the other person. We're talking first about you and your intent.
Okay.
Sin always starts in the will. And why are you separating? Why did you separate? Are you abandoning that person or are you moving out at the behest of a professional who's saying, let's create some space, let's get back into counseling, let's take a look at it and see how we can get back together. How we can resolve the problem. So, but no, hang on. Even if I did that, my husband could feel abandoned, but those are his feelings. And I have to understand that that's how he feels, but I did not abandon him. So there's a difference there. Why did I leave or why are we separated versus how the other person feels?
Sometimes the abandoned person feels they're doing something wrong.
Yes.
Do you see what I'm saying? Not the one who left, but the one who was left. I've had people say that, like, I don't know if I'm,
Well, and here's the thing. We can't say, oh, no, they abandon you. You're okay. We can't say that either. Here's the thing I have learned in doing this divorce ministry for 30 years. We don't know enough about the private lives of both people to really make a judgment.
Right.
We don't know. We think we know. Even if we're related to them, we don't always know. So I would urge, go talk to a wise and holy priest or lay person.
Okay, so what about divorce? Let's say the two people went through a civil divorce. Maybe it happened a while ago, and now somebody wants to come back to the church, or maybe they were already practicing the faith and went through a divorce. Does that exclude people from the sacrament?
Yes, and I love that you use the word exclude because that triggers a lot of people, and that just helps us to explain this, is that exclusivity is usually for a greater good in that regard. We don't let, stray dogs into the kids' nursery. You know, we exclude certain things for a greater and appropriate good. So the church excludes those to receive Holy Communion who have a serious unconfessed sin. And rightly so. So if you're civilly divorced, here's the different layers of it. Why are you civilly divorced? Were you a total idiot? Did you have affairs? Did you just get bored and just leave? That's your sin there. It's not that you're civilly divorced as much as that you have something behind that civil divorce that's very sinful that you haven't taken care of. So you don't receive Holy Communion. Until you make a good examination of your conscience And like the 12 steps say, a searching and fearless moral inventory, and then get to Holy Communion. But if you're civilly divorced and not remarried, you do not have to have an annulment. Let me just throw that one out there.
Ah, okay. Right. Okay. So, that's helpful. So the question would be, yeah, I'm Catholic, we're divorced. I didn't remarry anyone, but we're still divorced. So does that mean I can't go to communion?
No. Oh, and I have a guy who was in one of my divorce groups, and for 10 years, he stayed away from the Holy Communion because he thought because he was simply civilly divorced, he could not receive the sacrament. And he didn't get any advice. He just assumed that and never double checked it. So if you're listening or know anybody out there, have them double check this. So when you're civilly divorced and with no annulment, the church views you as still in that marriage, that the marriage bond is presumed to be valid and still there. And you must live in such a way, even though you're apart from your spouse, you must live in such a way that you honor that marriage bond. In other words, you don't look around at other people, you don't date other people, you don't even think about it. You get your life nice and full with work and family and friends and prayer and all the good things that God has for us.
Okay. So what about if you remarry, though? But
okay, so here's here's the big thing. If you remarry on your own terms, the way you think it should be done, without following the way the church has prescribed, you are being rebellious. Whether, I don't care how much ignorance there is in this day and age of information, we all have this information available to us. You first have to get an annulment. You have to go to the church and work with the church to declare that there was something seriously in the way of your marriage bond from ever really forming on the wedding date. You had a civil marriage, you had kids, you had a mortgage, you had some good times, but you never had a valid marriage bond. So that frees you to move forward. If you don't have an annulment, you're still married in the eyes of the church. Even though you haven't thought about that person for 10 years, you haven't seen him for 20 years, if you have no annulment, you're still married. Now, if you're not in the state of other serious sin, you're not dating, you're not even thinking about it, go to Holy Communion. Go to Jesus in the sacrament. But if you are starting to date or been in relationships or even had sex outside marriage again, get yourself to a priest and make a searching and fearless moral inventory and confess and get back on the right path and go to receive Holy Communion. Okay.
I think that's okay. We have to take the break, then we'll come back and do some more of these. But I do feel like we're getting a clearer picture. And like you said, it's many people will say, well, this is obvious. Well, it's obvious if you know it, but there's millions of people who don't know it, and some of whom are suffering terribly because they just don't know that there is an answer to their question, or the answer is not no in your case. You know, for example, that person you were talking about, 10 years civilly divorced, committing moral sins, could have been receiving Christ in the Eucharist whole time.
All right.
Well, maybe we'll get into some of the no's then. We did a lot of the yes, you can, but let's get into some of the no's. No, you can't when we come back. We're talking about divorce. And the Eucharist, your calls are welcome. I have not invited you to call yet, but we're going to finish this conversation in a moment. We'd be happy to take your call, 888-318-7884. Rose Sweet is our guest, 888-318-7884.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Check out EW10's official YouTube channel.
Just follow the link on our homepage at EWTN.com or go to youtube.com/EWTN.
Watch EWTN's live shows or today's homily from the Daily Mass.
Click the upload button to see our most recent clips.
You can also find all of EWTN YouTube content by clicking the playlist button.
It's all on the official EWTN YouTube channel at youtube.com/EWTN.
Visit today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Divorce and the Holy Eucharist. Who can receive? That's what we're talking about this hour with our guest, Rose Sweet. 888-318-7884 is the number if you'd like to get in on that conversation. 888-318-7884. Rose was saying, you know, if you're a baptized Catholic, not in a state of mortal sin, you can receive communion. That's the baseline. That's where we begin with a yes, you can. If there's no serious sin, otherwise, the civilly divorced, the separated, including the legally separated, can receive communion. And even those who are civilly divorced and remarried, so long as there's an annulment, what we call a declaration of nullity, the first marriage was not sacramental, then you also can receive communion. You also can... Go ahead.
Yeah, you know what? I like to qualify that.
Okay.
It's not that the marriage was not sacramental. It was not valid. There was no valid bond.
Okay.
Because there are certain people who are baptized Catholics and faithful, and they are married to a non-Christian.
Oh,
I
see.
They have a valid marriage bond. They're presumed to have a valid marriage bond, but it's not a sacrament because a sacrament requires both people to have a valid Christian baptism.
Gotcha. Thank you, Rose.
So the tribunal is not looking for sacramentality. She's primarily looking for was there validity there.
All right. Now there are some cases in which divorce might come with the answer no. This is not time to go to receive the Eucharist. So when might the answer be no?
When you're civilly divorced and you are dating or in another sinful sexual relationship, or even a heavily emotional relationship, or if you are divorced and remarried with no annulment. Or let's say maybe you had an annulment, but the new person that you attempted marriage with, they also had a prior marriage. And sometimes, you know, they think that they don't need an annulment because they weren't even baptized or they were a Methodist or whatever. But the church requires anybody who wants to attempt marriage in the Catholic Church, if they have a prior presumed bond, to get that cleared up. All parties, all prior bonds.
All right. So what's the remedy then? You're in that situation. What's the remedy?
Get a wise and holy counselor, advisor, spiritual director to help clear this up. You know, I know Catholic Answers has a lot. We've done a lot of shows on this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot you can look up online. You can contact me, Rose at Rose Sweet. I love to help people answer their questions. But make a firm purpose of amendment to learn more about this, because it is important to your flourishing, to your holiness, to your ultimate happiness, to know more about what the Church has for you. And why she says yes and why she says no. And then if you're remarried without an annulment, we've done this. I made a little note. October 2023, you and I did a show on living as brother and sister. So if you're in the situation, you can't separate for lots of different reasons, you move out of the bedroom and you continue to love each other, but you love each other as brother and sister do. And I remember I talked with you one time. I lived with my brother for a few years, and it was great. It was fun. And so you should do that. Take the high road, pull apart, make a commitment, learn the truth, take the high path, then go to Holy Communion.
And I know you know many more of these than I do, but there are many people who have given testimony to the beauty of that choice in their own life, the kind of peace that followed upon that choice. Nobody says that's easy. That's the easy road. But Christianity's not, we're not proposing this. This is the easiest way to get through life, but it is the most satisfying and fulfilling and whole way to get through life.
It is. And a lot of us, you know, this, there's a lot of related topics to this. When we don't really understand the nature of the marital act, we don't understand that that is a physical expression of wedding vows. We say in our bodies, with our bodies, what we said at the altar, I give all of myself to you till death, nothing held back. And if you have a prior marriage, you know, where you've made that kind of a commitment with another person, you can't then just bounce around and keep doing that. You bring harm to yourself, to everybody involved, and even to the greater community. So it's a matter of getting rid of our pride and getting some humility and saying, Lord, I want to take the high path. I know it's hard, but I want to do that. And this is for the ladies out there and the men. When we women, let's say I'm in a remarried situation without an annulment, when I know that my husband, who maybe isn't that Catholic and doesn't understand what this rule totally, but he knows it means a lot to me, and he sees that I desire to live a holy life, he will be willing, when he's willing to do that for me, he's already expressing authentic agape love for me, and that will increase my trust and my love for him.
I feel like we're ready to go to the phones. Rose, you want to take some calls?
Okay. Let's go.
We're talking about divorce and the Eucharist. If you have questions, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We start out in Nebraska, where Michael is listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Michael, thank you for starting us off today. Go ahead with your question for Rose Sweet.
Yes, thank you. I was just wondering, I have a relative who the spouse just ended up leaving, surprisingly, to everyone. And this happened just recently. And so my wife and I, we've been helping this relative by having a rosary every Sunday and praying for them and for the spouse. And I just didn't know if there was anything else that we can do to help him through this. He's really struggling with this, and it's been very difficult. And didn't know if we should be encouraging him to talk with the spouse, or I don't know what the next step would be. But we've been praying with him every Sunday, having the rosary with at our house. So just wanted to kind of hear what you have to say about that.
I would say, let me ask you a question. What would you say if he came over and said, I found out I have stage 4 cancer of the liver? What would you do for him? Then you would say,
in addition to praying, I would encourage him to seek all the different types of treatments out there, to look into it and see, and to get the best help and to try to see what would happen, then also at the same time try to help him get his life in order and his soul.
Okay, perfect. Encourage him not to just talk about it with family and friends, but to go get professional guidance, because that will help him when he eventually does try to speak to his spouse. He'll have a plan to do that. So that's good. Part A. Part B is listen to him. Spend some time and just say, how are you feeling? And you know, it's not just men that try to fix problems. We women do that too. Just don't try to fix his problems. Just listen to him. How are you feeling? What would you like? What are you afraid of? What's going on? How can I help you? What would you like to do right now? Just be curious and present to him. And that's huge. But don't step in and try to give counsel, because again, you don't know everything as close as you are to this person. So just be there for him, pray for him, encourage him for just everything that you said is perfect.
Okay, thank you.
Michael, thank you. God bless you. The number here is 888-318-7884. Rose Sweet is our guest. And it does seem that almost every time Rose is on, whatever we're talking about, somebody will call up with a question about a marriage situation related to the Eucharist. Can I, should I receive the Eucharist, all that? So we're taking the whole hour to talk about marriage, divorce, and the Holy Eucharist. If you've got questions in that regard, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. You can hear that music. That means we'll take a very quick break. We'll be right back with more with Rose. Anybody can call. You don't have to be Catholic to call. Rose is happy to help anybody. 888-318-7884. We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests. He does on-air debates. And he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Why We're Catholic is the one book you can hand to anyone to invite them into or back to the Catholic faith. With more than 400,000 copies sold, Trent Horn's book has had a number one ranking on Amazon.com for 5 years running. Now available in softcover, bulk cases, ebook, and on Audible. Find out what the excitement is all about. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic at shop.catholic.com or visit whywearecatholic.com.
When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore. Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Our good Rose Sweet doesn't live too far from here. Doesn't live too far from where we are. It's just hotter where she is. It's really hot.
Yeah.
What is it now?
125 degrees a couple of weeks ago.
Is that a real temperature or is that like...
No.
That's a real temperature?
Like, it's a real temperature.
Seems like your house would just melt. Or like, well, how do people live in that?
I did go out on a day that was 122 and I noticed that my face... I felt like somebody had a blow dryer on my face.
Oh, yeah, just dried it right out.
It hid me, right?
Yeah, I went out just recently. It got up to 79 here, and I was like, I don't know, should I? But I did. I braved it, Rose. I just want you to know I braved it. I was only mentioning where you live because you always come to the conference, and it's always nice to see you for the few days we have here of the conference. So you'll be here, and it is going to be a great conference this year. We hope lots of folks will come. And in July, you still get the $50 off any conference ticket you buy in July. So just go to CatholicAnswersConference.com if you want to find out about it. It's a wonderful topic, the parables, sermons, and conversations of Jesus Christ. And a whole bunch of people you would love to hear talk about that stuff, including Scott and Kimberly Hahn. Father Sebastian Walsh, Dr. Ray Guarendi's coming. Dr. William Junker will be there. Jimmy, Tim, Carlo, all the guys are going to give their talks. We'll do a live radio program. And
wait a minute, wait a minute.
Yep.
I heard one other speaker is opening the event. Who is that guy?
This is the first year I get to do a talk. Because I wrote the book on Jesus, I guess, I get to do a talk this year. So I'll be doing it. So don't come late. You miss the best part of the conference, really. I mean,
okay.
What?
Oh, I won't sleep in that morning. That's good.
Yeah, don't be late. All right. We're talking about communion and divorce, the Eucharist and a divorce. If you've got questions in that regard, 888-318-7884. We'll go to the phones now. Roberto in California, listening on Catholic.com. Hang on, Roberto, because I don't know if I gave out the website. CatholicAnswersConference.com. That's where you go to find out about the big conference coming up. CatholicAnswersConference.com. Okay, I did that, Roberto. Now you can ask your question. Go ahead.
Hey, I just want to thank you guys, first of all. And so I had a question, not to make it too personal, but my parents are divorced, and there's nothing more that I would want than for them to receive the Eucharist, nothing more. But what you guys did say, that the church still recognizes them as being married, so if they live their life as they still were, they can still receive it. But what if your parents are looking for new partners and are in a relationship with a new partner, living with them and maybe having intercourse or whatever it may be, then what do they do? If they just go to confession but then go back to home with their new partner and these acts, do they have to keep going to confession? What is the path towards being able to regularly receive communion for them?
Roberto, this is a great question, and I'm sorry. I know this must be a heartbreak for you. Keep praying for your mom and dad. You bring up a good point. There are a lot of people who it's called, they abuse the sacrament of confession. And that means they're in a sinful relationship. They feel guilty. They try a little bit to pull apart. They go to confession, but they end back up in bed together or whatever, you know, weeks later or whatever. The priest would definitely tell them, don't do that. This is not the sacrament that you come to abuse. You know, this. Remember, when you confess your sin, all of us, you make a firm purpose of amendment to stop the sinful behavior. And so that means if you really want to stop it, you have to move out from that person, or if it's impossible for certain reasons, even temporarily, you move out of the bed, move into another room, go live with your kids for a while. But most people are afraid to do this because they don't want to be alone. They don't want to lose the relationship. They're scared if they do that, the other person will abandon them, which shows how strong that relationship is. And so they stay stuck in their sin, recycling it. So pray for your parents to have a desire to learn more about why the church says to separate, because that's really the hard work that they have to do. And that's why people, you know, keep falling back into the routine. So pray for them, encourage them to get some good counsel on that. Maybe even call me. I love to help people in this situation. Even if your mom is afraid, I don't know, not too personal, but let's say your mom is living with another guy and you really like the guy, but it's sin, right? Mm-hmm. I could help her to look at the new relationship properly in a way that would give her some peace and know that she's doing what God wants of her. So I love to do mm-hmm. that. So keep praying, but no, mm-hmm. don't abuse the sacrament of confession.
Right.
Okay, Roberto.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank
you for the call. All of a sudden, Rose, all lines filled up. Let's go to Matthew in Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Matthew, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Oh, yeah. So I was wondering, if you're married and you find out that your spouse has had a previous marriage and you ask them if they got it annulled and they say no, they just honestly didn't know that that was a step they had to take, and, you know, they help them and they actually get their marriage annulled, is your marriage valid, or do you have to get it convalidated?
Okay. Well, I'm assuming that you got married not in a Catholic church, correct?
No, if you got married in the Catholic Church, like you just, your partner might have been a like a non-denominational Christian, or they didn't know that was a step they had to take for some reason. Maybe their previous marriage was.
Okay. So you got married in the Catholic Church, and that means whoever prepared you for marriage, there was a form that you fill out that says, "Are there any prior marriages?" So either somebody has to have like deliberately ignored that or lied or something. If you, let's say you're the groom, you're not at fault if she lied or didn't disclose that. But yes, your marriage is technically invalid until she takes care of that and through the annulment process. And then when she does, then you can have your relationship. You come back together and you can have that relationship. It's not just blessed, it's elevated to the level of the sacrament. It's in the convalidation process. Does that make sense? I know it's complex.
It does.
Okay, good.
It does make sense. Thank you,
Matthew. I appreciate the call. Let's go to Josie in Ann Arbor, Michigan, listening on the Ave Maria Radio Network. Josie, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hi. I'm not even sure this is any of my business, but my brother and I, we were raised Catholic. He really doesn't practice his faith. He got married outside of the church, got a divorce, and is now dating a woman who is Catholic. And he goes to Mass with her once in a while and receives communion. He's also going on vacation with her, cohabitating at times. I am hesitant to say something because I'll be told it's none of your business. You're a prude. Howdy, blah, blah, blah.
You're in a difficult situation. I understand that. But what if Jesus didn't speak the truth to all those people because he was afraid they would get mad at him and throw stones at him or try to throw him off a cliff? You know, there's the courage. So I would say you have a moral obligation to approach your brother one time lovingly and clearly, and you probably have to have a plan. Don't just go all emotional, you know, half-cocked, but have a plan to say, and I call this the hamburger method. You start soft, you put the meat in the middle, and you end soft. I love you so much. I want the best for you. I know you probably don't understand, but what you're doing violates yourself, the other person, the dignity of marriage. I have some information. If you're interested, I would like you to take a look at it because I worry about what you're doing right now is blocking God's grace for you. And I don't think you want it. We all want God's grace. But what you're doing is blocking that. So here's what you could do. And I love you. I won't harp on you. I'm not criticizing you, but I'm calling you out to go higher. And I love you, blah, blah, blah. That's just the quick and dirty version of it. Then you let it go and you pray and fast and hang in there. And you love him, but you don't tolerate or normalize his behavior or his living style. In other words, you don't have them come over and sleep in your guest room. You make that very clear. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we live all in the same city. The issue is my brother chewed me out with a bunch of cuss words when I simply asked him to put away his phone after Mass before a family member's baptism. So I understand I have a moral obligation. I just don't know how to approach it.
Yeah.
Okay. There's one last little ditch attempt. You could write it in a letter and send the letter and then say, okay, God, I've done everything. I'm off the hook. And our Lord will go, yes, honey, I'm very proud of you. Let me take over from here. So if people aren't ready, remember that Jesus didn't pursue people and shove it down their throat. He let them walk away and it made him sad. So you're sharing in Jesus' sorrow in that. This is somebody that you love who's going off the cliff. So do what you can, but don't, if they're not ready, remember the scripture says, don't throw your pearls before swine. You can't keep harassing people on this. It will close their heart. So step back and ask the Holy Spirit to step in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Josie. Okay. All right, that brings us right to the break. But we've got a space for maybe a couple more calls before we have to let Rose go. We're talking about divorce and the Eucharist. Who can receive? Who can't receive? If you've got questions, Rose has got answers. 888-318-7884.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
EWTN is everywhere. EWTN radio programming is provided free of charge to over 500 domestic and international AM and FM radio stations. It's a great teaching tool for Catholics and non-Catholics alike. For a complete list of EWTN AM and FM stations across America, visit EWTNradio.net. At the bottom of the page, click Affiliates. EWTN is the global Catholic network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Second hour, Tim Stables will be here. We'll do Ask Me Anything to conclude the week. You are welcome to call. This hour, we've got some questions to get through, but we will have time for you. If you've got a question that you'd like to ask Rose about the Catholic teaching on divorce and remarriage and annulment and how all of that relates to the Eucharist, it's a big year and a big week for the Catholic Church here in the United States. Focus on the Eucharist, and I say a big week for those of you who don't know. There's a really kind of a rare event, a National Eucharistic Congress going on right now in Indianapolis, Indiana. So if you've got questions about yours or someone else's marriage and divorce and the possibility of receiving Eucharist, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Going to Yuma, Arizona now. Christine is in Yuma, listening on Yuma Catholic Radio, which is awful nice. It's nice to hear that we're on the air in Yuma Catholic Radio. Thanks for everybody there in Yuma for that. And this might be our first call from Yuma Catholic Radio. I don't know, but Christine, you're very welcome here. Go ahead with your question. Hi. For Rose. Hi.
Hi, Rose.
Hi, Christine.
So recently, my husband has filed for a divorce. We were civilly married, and we had our marriage convalidated through the church. He is a non-baptized person. My mother, being Catholic, and my family being Catholic, had kept pushing us to get our marriage convalidated. So as going through this divorce process, he has told me that he never intended to convert to Catholicism, and he never intended for our children to be raised Catholic. So my question is that grounds for a declaration of nullity?
First of all, I'm so sorry that you're in a painful, painful situation.
Thank you.
I know that you understand that when you went to the church and exchanged vows and had your marriage convalidated, that formed a valid marriage bond. That the church, if you did go for an annulment right now, she would not go back to the time that you married civilly as the date of your marriage, but it would be the date of the convalidation. However, okay, everything that leads up to the convalidation in cases like this is usually a very troubled situation with problems that were there, and convalidation is usually an attempt by one or pressure from family to get God's graces in there and fix that problem. I don't know if that's your case, but that's something that should be explored. So if you go for annulment, his refusal to become Catholic isn't necessarily grounds for nullity, because he's not Catholic, right? But let me tell you, from what you're describing and what I know, there's probably a lot of other things there that are worthy of consideration. So get a good, wise, experienced person to help you take a look at your relationship from the very beginning, the civil marriage up to the convalidation, and now, and see what they can do to help you with that.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rose. I appreciate your advice.
You're welcome, honey. You're welcome.
Okay. So, deception, like lying at the beginning of a marriage, right? Like as part of almost the premise, that's not a cause for nullity?
Not necessarily. Remember, like mortal sin has to be grave, right? Grave issues. So same thing. If you lie about the fact that you have a previous marriage or that your name is on some big corporate thing that causes all kinds of problems, it depends on the nature of the lie.
Mm-hmm.
So lying itself doesn't, because we all lie at some time, not me and not you, of course, but lying itself is not what gives grounds for annulment, for nullity, has to be really, really serious.
Gotcha. Okay. Christine, thank you again for the call. Let's go to Adam in Destin, Florida, listening on Catholic Community Radio. Adam, glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Thank you. And thank you, Miss Rose. My question is, it's simple, but my best friend is divorced, has been, and he's had his marriage annulled. He has been dating this other lady, and they've been dating for a long time. They're going steady. She was Catholic also, and her marriage to her husband was in the Catholic Church as well. She became divorced too, but my best friend wants her to get the annulment so they can move on to getting married. But she, I'm not sure why, is resistant, very resistant to the idea of getting an annulment. And then she brought up this hypothetical question saying that if her ex-husband, the husband that she was divorced from, if he died, would she still need to get that marriage annulled?
Okay, so right now your friend is dating a married woman. So that's a sinful situation.
Ma'am.
Okay, so she's resistant, which tells me she hasn't really understood the nature of marriage as the church teaches, and she's probably not real interested at this point. So that to me is another red flag. If you want to marry somebody that's mature in their Catholic faith, there's lots of red flags there with her. But to the last part of your question, yes, if her husband, because he's still her husband, if he dies, then she's free to remarry. But I would, if that guy was my brother, I'd go, man, oh man, I would take a look, because you don't want to just marry somebody like that who's resistant and closed and refusing to take the high path.
I mean, because she had her annulment papers, but has never really even seriously, she read through them and answered a couple of questions, but she's very resistant to finishing it. She doesn't see why it's necessary.
Okay,
my best friend, he doesn't want to go forward. He says we can't get married until Ainge tells her that they can't get married until her marriage is annulled, and they have grounds, but she's resistant.
So here's the thing. This is what I do on the side when I'm not on Catholic Answers, is I help people who are overwhelmed and resistant, and they got the paperwork, and they don't know what to do. I have him reach out to me, rose@rosesweet.com. I will help him, maybe help her break down some of those barriers and see if they can get where they want to get or where they want to be with this.
Adam, we'll leave it there. rose@rosesweet.com is Rose's email address. Let's go to Anne in Buffalo, New York. Anne, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hi. I wondered, I'm divorced. I've been divorced for now almost 3 years. You know, I feel like there's such a stigma with being divorced, and I did not want to get a divorce. I married for life, but my husband, my ex-husband, was just living a life that I could not live with anymore. And it's just, I mean, it's torn me apart. And I happen to have a friend who died, and her husband is a widow, and we've known each other for 30 years, and now we've developed kind of a relationship. We're not sleeping with each other, but I am in love with him, and he's in love with me, but we really keep it very, you know, we keep our distance from each other. We hug and kiss. That's about it. I've gone to two priests because I felt guilty about this, and I didn't know if I should go on with this. I have applied for an annulment, and I'm waiting to hear if I get it. And the two priests that I've gone to have told me that it's okay to date. And I'm just so confused about this topic. You know, I search. I wake up every morning, you know, thinking, am I doing the right thing? But these priests tell me that I am, and it's okay. And I'm really confused.
Oh, this is Sai, you want to say something?
No, I can see you. You look like you were in the starting block getting ready to go on this one.
I know. This kills me when priests give bad advice. Now, first of all, a priest who usually give this kind of advice, they're worried that you're going to leave the church or get mad and become a Protestant, and they want to keep you, and it's okay. This is not okay. You're a married woman. You're a married woman who's falling in love with and creating bonds with another man outside your marriage bond, which still holds until you go through the annulment process. This is why you are not at peace. Mm-hmm. So what you need to do, in my opinion, is tell this guy that you need to pull away from him while you get your annulment. If he truly loves you, he will wait for you. You get your annulment, and then you can come back together and see what's there. Now, does he have any prior marriages?
No, just, you know, his wife died, and his wife was my best friend.
Okay. And here's the other thing. I know that you probably suffered a lot and were very lonely and rejected in your marriage. I get that.
Yes.
And your heart has been aching for a long time for the love, the kind of love this man is probably offering you.
My heart is broken. Yes.
Okay. Take that broken heart to the Lord. Let your heart break open so much that he can pour his love and his grace and his healing into your heart. Go to him first. Get your love and your security and your source from the Lord. Okay? Because what's happening now is you may be putting this guy in a state of temptation to sin. You know, he may be having impure thoughts. He may be struggling with other things while he, quote unquote, stays away from you. We're such complex beings, and there's so many struggles that we all carry. So it's not just affecting you. It's affecting this man who wants to love you. So both of you take the high path, pull apart, get your annulment, and know that the best is yet to come.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Anne. Thanks very much for the call. It always is the, you know, there when you're on Rose, it's a different kind of show, and I'm very glad that it is, because I mean in practical terms, marriage is one of the most complicating issues of the for Catholics today. I mean, they're just, I'm so glad we get the chance to talk about it, because I know, you know, the situation Anne's in, well, there's 1,000 other people listening who are in the same situation, or the situation other callers were in. One thing I have learned from you, however, is if you do it God's way, there is plenty of hope. There's no reason to think, oh, it's if I do it God's way, that won't work for me.
Yeah, God's way sometimes sounds boring and dull and difficult. And guess what? Sometimes it is, but it's not always that way. And it brings that peace that surpasses all understanding. It's totally worth it. My heart goes out to these people.
You should check out what Rose does over at rosesuite.com. You should have her come in and speak where you are. That's how I got to know Rose. I saw her speak one time, and it just absolutely blew me away. I was like, wow, who's this? And it was wonderful talk. So check all out everything she does, rosesuite.com. Rose, enjoy that lovely summer heat.
Oh, thanks a million, Cy.
All right, we'll be right back with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.